Hola, Antonio.
Hola, Alan. How are you?
I'm very good. It's been so long, I can't remember. What even episode is this?
Oh, I forgot. It must be a huge number, right?
Yes.
140-something.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of digits.
Lots of digits, yes. Well, we're growing.
We're growing, and at least we're not senile yet, right?
Yeah, but I think it should be 6 or 7, actually. I must check.
I was glad when you emailed me. I mean, I should have known, but it's a nice reminder that it's been a little bit more now. But you know, your message and your blog post too was about the year anniversary of Hurricane Maria, and when we started this whole podcast. And so to think about how much has happened in a year, it was like, we have to do a podcast, right?
Yeah, indeed. So much has happened in 1 year, and indeed, as you say, I'm remembering now the time we spent talking in our first episode 1 year ago, and I was upstairs on the student center, so I could see from the windows, the damages, the ruins of buildings and of roofs, most of all, around us. And we had no electricity. A generator was working on. And fortunately, we had wireless at that time. So already it was brought back by the university. So... and it was pretty interesting to live that moment and to being able to talk about it with you. Oh, that was 1 year ago, a little more actually.
Yeah, well, and that first episode, the communication was not reliable for Skype. So remember, we kind of did back and forth
with
audio files on Google Drive. So
indeed.
How does that view from the rooftop look now?
Now, well, okay. I mean, Sagrado is fine. We have a couple of spots that haven't been repaired yet. For instance, the roof of the gym and the basketball court is hasn't been repaired yet, and that's because I think the insurance companies have not all repaid their premium. So I hope they will do that soon. So, but apart from that, Sagrado is fine, and the campus is very, very well, and all the trees and all the plants are okay and happy, and the people too. So everything is working good. I think they have bought a few more generators in case something happens. So we should be more prepared in case another storm like that hits us again. And so we're fine. In Puerto Rico, if you come by plane, I landed almost 2 months ago now, so sometimes has passed by. But you will see a lot of blue rooftops, and that's the FEMA sponsored rooftops made with plastic that still cover up a number of construction and of houses. So you will see that really strikes the eye to see how many are still up there. So apart from that, things are okay. Electricity is fine. I think electricity should be operating almost 100% over the island. Still, I know that the island of Vieques works only with generators. So they're spending a huge amount of money just for electricity every day there. And some motels haven't been able to reopen yet because of that. And I think Culebra is on the same situation. I think on the island proper, things should be around 100% normalcy now.
100% normalcy, huh? And
Yeah.
how about in the state of mind? And what I mean, I don't know how you characterize it. I mean, how are people feeling on that 1 year date?
Well, look, my students and my colleagues are pretty well by now. Everybody have their own stories. So the people have huge amount of stories to tell. My students are compiling their own, so I hope to have a few posts from them soon. In fact, a few of them have already been published on our site. It's inf103.com, inf103.com. So a few of them have already been published. So everybody has this phenomenon in their minds, and I don't want to say that it's over because it's not. There are a lot of things that are still in the air. We still have a fiscal board that oversees everything here, and that is not a consequence of the hurricane, but it still lingers on the mind of everybody. So we have many things going on. A few days ago, my friend Sonia Fritz published her latest documentary about the hurricane, as seen by both the people who stayed after and the people who flew mostly to Florida in the aftermath of the hurricane. It's a very interesting documentary. I don't know if it will be released in the US. I hope so. And so the trailer, right? Yeah. It's very interesting. There's the opinion of a very esteemed economist and a sociologist who both comment on that emigration and on the people who have fled and on the people who have stayed here. And it's very interesting. So it was something very, very nice to see. My students are okay, mostly. Even those who had a hard time are fine now, or at least they seem to be. Let's see after they publish all their stories. So, see. I mean, still, it's a very charged subject. This morning, one of them showed me his post, and it's a work in progress, so it's not finished, but with some emotion in his voice, told me, "Look, this is a photo that somebody shot me in the immediate aftermath of the hurricane." So, and I could sense that he was really affected by that. So, it's sort of a catharsis to publish these stories about the hurricane for many people.
Does it feel like much of the world has forgotten Puerto Rico?
Well, no. I think that, the world at large, definitely yes. The world usually don't talk much about Puerto Rico, but at least the US has grown used to talking about Puerto Rico much more than before. And for the two reasons of the bankruptcy and for the hurricane, and also for all the naive and cruel things that your current president says often.
My
And so
current president. Why, how's he my president? I don't want
well, I should say our president, right? But that's something. So at least for good reasons and bad reasons. In the States, there is some talk about Puerto Rico, and that's good.
Right. And I know a number of your students did leave Puerto Rico. Have any of them returned, or do people pretty much, if they leave, they leave?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I remember doing some statistics about a few who flew. I didn't have many students. Perhaps in all, I did have 6 or 7 students who flew away. I followed up with those who wanted to continue, and they graduated by semester's end, 2017. But for a few of them, I haven't had any reply, and I haven't had news from the university either, so I really don't know. I'm sure they are okay, but so I don't know if they return here or not. No.
And you had a kind of an adventurous summer, right? What'd you do?
Indeed, indeed. I had a very good summer. Because I was due visiting my mom. I did so last year, but I stayed just a few days. So this time I said, well, let me dedicate some real time with her. She was 90 this summer, so 90 years old. So I stayed 2 months with her, and most of that time I spent alone. Then my youngest daughter came and stayed with us. She got a scholarship to study a course in Rome. So she stayed for the first month. She stayed alone with other American students in an apartment in the center of Rome. But she visited during the weekends, and I had some time with her in Rome. So that was great. And, you know, I could share a little bit of my city, what I consider my city, with my daughter. It was very, very nice. And then with my mom too, it was very good. I chauffeured her everywhere, and we did things together, the doctors, the medicines, and we went to visit markets, we bought stuff, we cooked. So I had really a great time.
So when you visit your mother, do you ever feel like you're 12 years old?
When she reminds me to wash my hands, yes.
Was just checking. No interference.
Yeah, I mean, she relaxed a little bit, I have to say. She was so happy, indeed. And that was very nice. She was so happy that I was able to spend with her and to dedicate my time to her, and that really she relaxed a lot. And so that's why also we spent a very good time together. Also, she was quite good with me, very generous. So I had to undergo no expenses. So that was fine. Again, it was very quality time with her. And also, I mean, with my sister, with my nephews, I could stay some time and enjoy their company. And with my sister too, I had a comeback time, and I enjoyed it very much. So I was really, really happy. Then the last moment, Hilda too was able to join us. And she used a little bit of miles that she had accumulated, and so she flew to Rome too, and she stayed at home a little bit, and then we basically robbed my mom's car. It was a little a tiny car. And we drove up north, so it was over 600 kilometers up north first we visited a little town very close to Venice, and we did so that we could be able to visit Venice but not being overwhelmed by the mass of people who dwell in the city in the summer. So it was very, very nice. Actually, we stayed in the city name is Chioggia, and it's actually the city called the Small Venice where all the fishermen live and fish all the fish that goes in Venice's restaurants and houses. So it was very pleasant. And we stayed at an Airbnb, so we cooked and we ate out. We had a very great time with little money. And then from there, we drove up to Trento, which from Venice is just a couple of hours, 3 hours. And so we stayed at a wonderful place together with Jim Groom and his family, and was really, really beautiful. We enjoyed it so much being with them. They're not only a wonderful family, wonderful people, generous, hospitable. So, I mean, I cannot talk well enough about them. And when I say them, I mean every one of them, from the grown-ups up to Tommaso and Miles and Tess. Oh, they're so beautiful and children and so great a family. So
I know, and the pictures, they I can't believe, because I lived with Jim for about 6 months when I was at Mary Washington, they were little guys,
very little there. No, yeah.
So is how Italian is Jim?
Oh, almost 100%.
Almost 100%.
Yeah. I mean, she balances the Italian stuff with the American stuff pretty well. Fortunately, the pop culture that he is so in love with helps. And I think he manages pretty well. And also the family helps a lot. He loves to walk. So he really is a walker, and I love how they manage without a car, and I really appreciate that. And they do all sort of nice stuff all together, and I like the family atmosphere that you breathe there. So it's very nice. Antonella, actually, I have never shared with her except a couple of days, a long number of years ago, in Virginia. So I got to know her much better in this occasion. And I she's great, absolutely. She's really wonderful. And the scenery is unbeatable. And they brought us to places that are really beautiful, beautiful. They brought us to trails, to restaurants, to places that are unbeatable. Really, really nice, nice places. And I mean, I'm going to be there soon. So if you're listening, guys, get ready.
Oh, you're going back?
Well, sooner or later. I mean, probably later at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was quite a long... Was this like one of the longest returns to Italy since you left?
Indeed. It was over 2 months long. And the traveling part inside Italy was short. I mean, in all, we stayed only 10 days. So... And we visited, after Jim and his family, we went to another places in the Alps, this time close to the border with Switzerland. And so we crossed the border many times, and we did trails up to glaciers, and it was beautiful also, that place. And we climbed up to over 2,500 meters up, so it was beautiful. Really, really great, great places. I had a friend who gave us her apartment for a few days, so we stayed there. It was beautiful, very very nice. So I was really happy and fortunate enough to been able to do this with a small car, but it was perfect, and in these three little spots that were perfect for a nice vacation.
And did any of this come into some of your preparation for your Italian film class? Did you?
For my sorry?
Yeah, for the. Aren't you teaching an Italian film class?
Right now? Of course. I talked about that with Jim and his family, with a lot of people in Rome. Indeed, it came very very useful. So and that class is now in full progress. And we have already watched four movies and discussed about them, produced gifts, produced a few posts. So it coming out well. It's a pilot. So I mean, we are very generous with everything, and students I think enjoy that. They do enjoy that very much, and me too.
And they expect you to be an expert on everything Italian, right?
No. Well, actually, it's nice. The best thing is when they ask, and they publish their question too. So, what are the stereotypes of how people see Italians and Italy from here? And it's very nice to answer that. And at least in some of those questions, and to see those stereotypes and the sort of stuff, and to discuss it with them. So it's pretty fun, and I think they enjoy that. They enjoy that very much. One of the things we discuss is what is a pepperoni pizza, and I say if you ask that in Italy, they will bring you a pizza with peppers on them, on the pizza. So there are a few things, a few nice things that you can really share and discuss with people. So
I have to say, Antonio, that we're actually over 20 minutes, but there's been some conversation with our editorial board.
And what did the board decide?
Well, they said that since it's been so long since we've done an episode, that we should really get 40 minutes at a minimum,
wow.
I think. But, you know, so today we're at the 40-minute rule.
So you know, that's a great news. And the bad news is that I already covered half of that amount.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about, you know, what you're teaching right now.
Yeah,
we talked a little bit about the Italian film class.
It's I'm so lucky, and this week I will meet up with the department director to see what we can do about the future. I have a plan C, and I will check if he approves. I will try and make the class a little more. I would say not formal, but more stable in the future. So pass from a pilot to a full-fledged class. And I have this crazy idea of bringing to Italy the whole group of people next summer. So for credit, I mean. So to organize a for credit trip to Italy so that students can both enjoy the class, watch more movies in Italy, and tour a little bit of a couple of places with me. I would love to do that.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Let's see if it can happen.
Yeah. So what is are we supposed to talk about technology? I can't remember. Is that our theme? No, it isn't.
Well, we could, yes, and we will.
We don't have to.
We don't have to, but it will be nice because we all love technology. I'm listening to the Sam Harris podcast. And, you know, I work, as you do, with media and with digital stuff and with social media, etc. So I encountered a guy, and then I'm pretty curious about it. Named Jaron Lanier, who wrote a book titled 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. So I'm very intrigued by his arguments, and I'm following this podcast. So there are a lot of angles for seeing technology, and to I have a close friend, Dan. In fact, you met him, who leans up to the more pessimist view of technology, and we always have these sort of discussions about the use of technology, etc. So, I'm intrigued by all that, you know.
We could talk about Facebook.
No, I know your position about Facebook.
I'm not talking about Facebook,
right?
I am off of Facebook, and which, you know, makes me kind of relieved about this latest data breach. But it's easy to get on your soapbox and say how bad it is. But, you know, you can counter it with as many stories of good that people do. I kind of just wonder if there's any increase of people's, like, understanding or awareness or and how important Facebook is, period. Maybe in your circles or with your students, is it still, you know, pretty critical for people to be in touch with each other?
Well, probably WhatsApp and Snapchat are more used in the current generation of students, probably more than Facebook, but Facebook is still probably very much used. I don't have a statistics for my current students, but I will have it, because I will run a form to check their habits. So I will report on that later on in the semester.
And they probably like, I hear most of the time that Twitter's not very important.
No, I use Twitter for our classes, and I sort of blackmail them. And since many of the students who are doing classes with me now are from communications, so well, I tell them, you cannot be a journalist today without knowing how to use Twitter in your work. And if you're a politician too, so if you're a publicist or a public relation guy, you must know how to work with Twitter. So, and they appreciate that.
Yeah, I have to say, I was following last week kind of closely the Senate hearings.
Who hasn't, right?
Yeah, but it was through Twitter that I first heard someone in my network talking about this video of the Arizona Jeff Flake senator being confronted in the hallway. And it was an amazing... And that was the first place that I heard about it.
Indeed. We too. Yes, that's true. The first place was through the social networks.
Yeah.
At least for me and for a few others. Yes.
And then to be able to, you know, I watched the hearings. I had it live streamed from CNN on my laptop here. I remember growing up, there was like network coverage of events, but I don't remember watching it all that much.
No. Well, I do remember some events when I was a child, a boy, for instance, the landing on the moon and all the Apollo missions. I remember buying many newspapers and watching the TV continuously. So I do remember that for those occasions. But of course, in this case, it's on demand. So whenever I want, I can just turn on and switch to the appropriate channel, and I have it. So, for instance, something interesting is happening also in my household, because I cut the cord with cable TV, so I only have internet access. And for a number of months, I stayed without watching the news on my TV. And I read newspapers essentially through the web, and that was it. I was happy with that. And then I found out, of course, it was silly of me to discover that so late, but I found out that you can watch Rachel Maddow and a lot of other shows practically live on YouTube. So what we do now, both Hilda and I, is watch a few of these shows live on YouTube on a big screen, because I still like to see TV on a big screen. So that's the thing that I learned. But this social networking stuff is really powerful. It's true that they have established an economic model that perhaps may not be fully sustainable or whatever, but who knows about what comes next. So,
yeah, it's hard to, I couldn't even imagine like what the next wave is. And so, you know, assuming this will, you know, somehow implode or just fade off and be replaced by something else, but maybe it won't, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, the major players are pretty established.
They are, but in a way, a few of the contenders are still, they are struggling, but they are still there. Wikipedia is an example, and I don't know how long will it resist. Will it keep making sense or not? I have no idea, but still, it represents a nice point of view. And a nice way of contributing to the common knowledge.
Yeah, and you, there's so many great, the educational projects where people get involved with creating the content.
Exactly.
So they get to see it's not just the consumption angle on it. And
oh, definitely. All the good thing that this iteration of the web has brought is precisely that. The open web content movement. Sorry.
And I think we probably spoke about it when we did that episode when I was in Guadalajara with Brian and Grant. And,
oh, right. You did a wonderful project there.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And I mean, one of the, you know, attitudes that most, when we asked the professors beforehand was like, you know, we know people use Wikipedia, but it's really not reliable. And we shouldn't have our students go to it. And mainly it was just this thing that it's unreliable. So, one of the things we tried to get them to think about was, okay, it's unreliable. Why don't you do things, get your students involved in your areas of expertise and make it better?
Exactly.
And to give them some understanding rather than just kind of, because a lot of people don't really have, you know, besides following a link that ends up in Wikipedia, an understanding of the whole ecosystem.
Indeed.
And so, you know, one of the things we tried to do is like get them to look at Spanish Wikipedia and understand where its gaps were of information. And there's my favorite thing was there's this site called Listen to Wikipedia. And it's a thing that gets a feed from the most recent changes, and it generates audio tones that represent the activity that's going on. And it's kind of mesmerizing because you can sort of get a sense about how it's growing. And so we showed them that, and then you can actually change the link and you can show the sounds that are coming from the changes in Spanish Wikipedia. And it's definitely a little bit more quiet. That was kind of a subtle way to sort of make a point about, that people can have like a role of contribution in creating public information.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I so much agree on that. And only the idea of reliability, of confidence, is something that need be discussed. I mean, what does it mean for a source to be reliable for? And I remember, I love to discuss it with colleagues and with students. And I unfortunately have to report that many, many colleagues, as you probably have noticed, have this opinion pre-molded opinion on Wikipedia, and it not necessarily fits reality. Not only in the sense that you can modify it, but in the sense that what does it mean to be an authoritative source? What do we want from an authoritative source? Do we want really encyclopedia to work like peer-reviewed journals or not? So that's sort of questions that need to be asked in this part of the academic discourse, I think.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, we have 4 minutes
Oh my God.
left. Well, of course, it depends how, strict the editors
Yeah,
will.
well, perhaps you can push a button and ask the editor to give us another five extra minutes.
You know how long it takes them to respond.
True.
It's a
But
bureaucracy.
at least we have an excuse.
That's true.
So listen, you haven't told us. So what are you doing? Where are you? And how's life in general? I know that big changes have come up, right?
Well, thank you. Actually, what I'm doing is I'm talking to my good friend Antonio, but I am a little bit north of where I did before in Arizona, and I've crossed the border into Saskatchewan, Canada, because I fell in love with a beautiful woman who's a fabulous high school teacher, and we developed a relationship, and it really developed. So we got married in June, and I came up, and we got married, and we got a house, and we're just enjoying life, and I'm learning new things. Like, well, the weather's different, and so this morning it did snow,
Beautiful.
and but it's really, people think about the prairie kind of with a preconception of just like flat land with not much interest in it. And it's really quite far from the truth. It's really quite a beautiful landscape, and the skies are magnificent.
I have seen your picture. Indeed, it's magnificent. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
and there's some. It is a dry climate in the summer. It's just a cold, dry climate in the winter. But it's a new adventure, and so I'm really excited to be here. And I've been able to carry on with some of my old projects and a lot of new ones, and I'm hoping to pick up another new project pretty soon. But yeah, it's kind of, I just shifted my coordinates,
Yes, that's a way to say it.
and my surroundings. But no, it's been a lot of change, but it's been really positive. I've had a good little comfortable existence in Arizona, but it doesn't mean I can't find great things to do here. So I'm really happy with taking on this new phase in life. And
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And what did you bring with you from Arizona?
Everything that would fit in the back of my pickup truck.
That's a good answer.
Of course, Felix came with me, and a guitar. I didn't bring enough winter clothes. I guess I don't really have winter clothes. Computer, of course. Not a couple of books.
Couple of
Actually,
books.
I got a fair amount. I got my bicycle in the truck, and all my power tools,
Okay.
and so I can build things, and yeah,
Are
but
you a good builder? I mean, I know in the on the web you're a great builder. I mean, with wood and other sort of stuff, are you good at working with that?
I can get along. I end up looking a lot of things up online, but it's not my forte. We had a fence put in. We have a pretty big yard here, and so it took a lot of fence. And I spent a day helping the guy we hired to build the fence drill the holes with an auger. And I'm not made for that kind of work.
Me too.
I was pretty sore, but I've been doing some small, fix up and building things, and it's rewarding. I'm better with HTML, but it's actually rewarding to be away from the screen and do some physical work at the same time. So I get to do both.
Good, great. Indeed. I mean, how do you say? Getting your hands dirty is a very good way of spending some time. Yeah, indeed it is. I'm trying now to get dirty with my hands dirty with web work that I did in the early 2000s. And it reminds me of a few posts that you published about reclaiming and recovering early work. And if it weren't for the Internet Archive, a few of these things would be lost. And I'm trying to recover from backup disks. You know, a friend, we'll talk about that later in another episode, but a dear friend of mine died this week. He was very old. And I remember suddenly of all the work we did together, we did a magazine in Spanish called El Biberón Cibernético, and I want to recover that and to restore it. So I'm searching in all my backup copies and everywhere to see where. In fact, I didn't even remember if we had a digital publication, and we did.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm trying to find all the stuff. So
yeah, it's rewarding.
It is.
I have a couple. I still have a couple archive projects to work on, and some of it is the kind of just my own content that I kept copies of stuff I did when I was at the Maricopa Community Colleges, and that's That's one thing to rebuild, but it's really quite frustrating when sites like Wikispaces or Storify just close up and just lose everything. So, and I agree that the Internet Archive is probably one of the most helpful and amazing things out there.
It's really amazing. It's a great tool and catalog and repository, whatever. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and then there's all those, there's the things like, I had my students last semester when we studied games, I had them use some of the emulator games to play arcade and video games from the 80s and 90s. And
they have no ideas of what we played with, huh?
They were not impressed, but...
No?
They were curious, but I don't know if they were really impressed, but...
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be impressed with Pong. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, now we're sounding like old men.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the time of the day.
Yeah, it is. Anyhow, it's. I'm so glad that you wrote and reached out and that we've rekindled the PR connection, and we will... hopefully try to not make it so long before we do another one.
Okay. No, that's a promise. And let's see if we can find a schedule and try and follow it.
Yeah, and it would be, if there's someone you want to bring on to the conversation.
I will. I'm starting a podcast with a class, with a new media class, so
right.
you'll hear from us.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to hear from your students. That would be wonderful.
So, yeah. And well, I don't know. I wish you good weather, a good cold chimney fire weather. So that's and I guess we went over the any limit whatsoever, right?
Yeah, we busted the budget.
You don't even check the clock any longer.
Oh, I'm looking at it, I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah.
But thanks again, and if you think of like a good photo to use to, so if there is a theme to our conversation, or just to the theme of the Maria plus 1 year,
Okay.
the blog post could use it.
All right. Yes. Also, you can find, but I will pick a few for you. Anyhow, those students who already have published something, you can find it in our site, in 103.com, and they're all more or less free to use. And but I'll try and see as soon as they come. And they get published, I will pick a few for you. I have a few nice photos of Jim and the family, and I will also give them to you, so or publish them in the post. So I did a short video, so I will link to it soon also.
Okay, yeah, let's load it up with media. Even if it is Jim Groom.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks so much for
Alan,
talking,
thanks to you. It's been a pleasure.
and say hello to Hilda for me.
Thank you, and you too to Corey. I really look forward to meeting her.
Okay, you will soon.
Don't tell that too loud because I'm coming sooner or later, okay?
Oh no, we have a guest room for you.
Great, very great.
Okay.
Good. Well, have a great time and good afternoon. It's
Yes.
not evening yet, right?
It's getting there, but yeah, it's
It's
still the
getting there.
afternoon. And buenas noches too. Yeah, buenas
Buenas
noches.
noches.
Yeah, okay.
Bye bye.
Bye,
Bye.
Antonio.
Bye bye.